as I approach nearly 7 years as your minister here in Eden Grove, really I hope that I've been a bit of an open book. And you know me by this stage, you know who I am and where I've come from. But let me give you a wee reminder. Two families came together to produce this handsome young fellow that stands before you. One adventure started up in Ballymena with my granda, Thomas Woodburn, and he was a Cromkill man. And he met and fell in love with my granny. She was Margaret Simpson, and she was a Glen Arm lady. So you see, I give you a bit of crack about being from the country. A bit of my family is from the country too. They met, fell in love, but my granda needed the work. And so he moved to East Belfast to work in the shipyard. On the other side of town in Belfast, the wrong side of town, on a place called Sandy Row, there was another adventure happening. My granda, Sammy Pressure, met and fell in love with Sadie Drennan. They got married and had their wee family, and they also moved to a place wonderful in all ways called East Belfast. They moved from Sandy Row to a place called Orangefield into wee prefabricated houses that were built after the Second World War, and it's there that they raised their family. The Pressures and the Woodburns had lots of children, and on one side came someone called Norman Woodburn. On the other side came Linda Pressure. 13 years between them, by the way. My dad was an old lad when he married my mother. But they met, they fell in love, they got married in Bloomfield Congregational Church back in 1973, and they had a son called Stephen, and because he wasn't a very good son, they had another son called Scott in 1979. And the rest, as they say, is history. When it comes to Exodus 20, folks, and when it comes to this commandment that we are to honor our parents, that's who I am looking to. That's the roots that I look back towards. My grandparents are all gone now, sadly, but what they have left behind is Norman and Linda Woodburn, my parents. And it is Norman and Linda who I am to love and to honor and to obey and to respect, even though now I'm coming 36. I'm big enough and ugly enough to have moved out of my own wife, of my own family. I'm still called to honor them. And that is a challenge every single day, to honor my family. Folks, it is a challenge that God lays before you today as well. It is one that he lays before those of you who know your parents and who love your parents and who rejoice in your parents. It is a challenge to those of you who never knew your father, whose father was an alcoholic, a man who you never knew much because he was never in the house. It's a challenge to those of you who didn't know either your father or your mother. It is a challenge to those of you who this morning you're estranged from your parents. You know who they are. You know where they're living, but you have nothing to do with them. This is God's word to us, and he says it to me. He says it to you, and it is his fifth commandment. As we read here in Exodus chapter 20, we are to honor our father and our mother, that our days may be long in the land that your Lord, the Lord your God, is giving you. The first four commandments have vertical going on. We look to God. We are to honor him. We are not to take his name in vain. We're to remember the Sabbath day. We're not to have any idols. We're not to do any of these things. Those are vertical commandments, our duty to God. But now it comes to horizontal. It comes to how we are to treat one another. It comes to how our focus should be with those around us and those who we live with. And isn't it interesting that as the Lord enters into what this is, the second table of the law, he doesn't begin with murder. We'll get there. He doesn't begin with adultery. We'll get there. He doesn't begin with theft. We will get there. Instead, this commandment begins in verse 12 with fathers and mothers, our parents, the family unit in which we will grow up. And the Lord tells us, here is how I want you to be in that unit. Honor your parents. Treat your parents well. Love your parents. Honor them. And folks, that is an absolute challenge today. Because when it comes to us every single day, perhaps families are the places that see the real side of who we are. It is in our families that we see the anger and the bitterness and the jealousy. And then when we're outside, we put on the very public face, and it's completely different. Often in our families, that's where we get hurt the most. That's where the mask drops the most. That's where we are real with one another, and perhaps the evil and the sinful side of our nature comes through the most. And yet God begins here in the second table of the law telling us, honor your parents. Honor them. Love them, even though at times they will seem unlovable. And folks, this is a commandment which to my heart strikes a chord. I can tell you today that as of today, I am in a very good relationship with my mother and my father, but it was not always the case. My father, growing up, I never remember a time where he wasn't drunk. I would never remember a time where I would wake up in the morning and that a somber, stinking smell of drink wasn't in the air. And for a long time in my life, I didn't honor my father. Instead, I took another word beginning with H, and I put that into practice. I hated my father. And when it comes to this passage, folks, I remember essentially 20-odd years of my life where the man in my life called my father, I treated him with contempt. Now, perhaps he deserved a lot of it. And looking back, I would say that he did. But did I deserve to give it to him? Should I have given it to him? Absolutely not. My relationship wasn't good. The way my father acted, not just to me, but the whole family, was awful. And people say to me, Scott, why don't you drink? Is it because you're a Christian? Is it because you're a Bible believer? I don't drink because I see what drink can do. It's not that I get the Bible and beat you if you enjoy a glass of wine. I remember drinking in my teenage years and thinking to myself, where am I going to end up here? Am I going to just be like my dad? Because I don't want to be like that. That's why I don't drink. And that's why when it comes to this passage, I look back and I think, wow, this is hard. This is hard because although at times our relationship with parents is good and wonderful and right, I know that actually for the vast majority of my life, for well over half of it, I couldn't have said I kept this commandment. Certainly with my mother, no problem at all, but not with my father. I thank God that it's different now. But folks, I don't stand here today and preach to you and challenge you to do this, not understanding how difficult it will be. I know some of you well. I know some of you this morning are going to hear this and you're going to think, Scott, how can I do that with my mother? You know her. How can I do that with her? How can I do that with my dad? That's just impossible for me. And folks, this isn't easy, but it is God's word. And he challenges us. He speaks to us this morning and he says, here is how I want you to be horizontally with the men and women in your life, with those people called mom and dad. Honor them. Honor your father and your mother, says God, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. See, sometimes we don't think that disobedience to parents and treating them badly is a serious thing. But actually, as we read in Romans chapter 1 and in 2 Timothy 3, actually Paul places it up there with a whole host of other things that we might think, well, that's much more serious. In Romans 1, Paul has just discussed various sins, and he talks about all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, etc., etc. And we would say to all of those, amen. Those are all sins that aren't evident in my life and I would fight against. But then comes verse 30. He says, these men and women are disobedient to parents. Wow. Really? Paul places disobedience to parents alongside envy and murder and strife. This is important to God. How we treat our mom and dad, how we treat those people who care for us and those in authority over us, is of vital importance to the God who also said to us, remember my day, keep my name holy, honor your father and your mother. Later in 2 Timothy 3, Paul says similar things. He talks about recklessness, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure, etc., etc. And in verse 2, again, disobedient to their parents. God takes this seriously. And folks, if God takes it seriously how we are to treat our parents, then so should we. You know, there are times I look back on my relationship with my parents and I cringe at how I treated them. Still, to this day, at times, there's moments when I catch myself on and I have to think to myself, that's my mom and my dad. Jenny is a good one to do this. Not that I'm going to let you borrow her so she can do this for you, but often when I am on the phone to my mum and dad and I'm perhaps short with them, you know, I'm watching TV and I've no time to be talking to my mum and dad. I'm watching the match or I'm doing something. I'm short with them and I'll hang up and I'll maybe be a bit cheeky. And Jenny will say to me, Scott, that was your mum and dad on the phone. And I think, she's right. She's right. This is not easy. But God doesn't say, you know, honor your parents if you feel like it. Honor your parents if the match isn't on and you've got time to do it. He says, honor these people. Honor them. In response to who I am and what I have done in your life, honor those people who I have placed in authority over you. Michael Horton writes this in his book on the Ten Commandments. Out of respect for the dignity and worth of God, our Heavenly Father, and in view of the honor due his name, we are moved to submit ourselves to those whom he has placed over us in a similar relationship. See that? Horton makes it clear. In response to what God has done for us, so how we treat our parents, so how we treat people in authority over us, is in response to what God has done for us. So when we are disobedient to our parents, we in many ways are showing our contempt for God. When we treat them with disrespect, even perhaps when they deserve our disrespect, we are showing our contempt for the commandments of God. Whenever we go to school and we treat our teachers with contempt, when we are treating the people in authority over us with disgust, we are showing our disgust for the standards of God. And you might think, well, Scott, we don't do that, do we? Maybe our young friends from Relew and Macklemore, maybe you are the best behaved children in school ever. But probably not. And for those of you who are far too long to remember school, back in your day, school wasn't even invented. Maybe you think you can get away with this. But let me ask you a question. See, when the peelers are out the road and they've got the speed camera out, how many of you give those policemen and women the honor that they are due? When the peelers pull you over, how many of you talk to them with respect and honor that their office should garner? I don't sometimes. When the peelers pull me over, I get the East Belfast attitude. You know? Folks, this commandment requires us to honor our parents, to honor those in authority over us, and to not seek the wee rules and paths around that commandment. The Heidelberg Catechism helps us here. It asks the question, what is required from this commandment? And the answer it gives us is this, that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all who are set in authority over me. That I submit myself with respectful obedience to all their careful instruction and discipline, and that I also bear patiently their failures, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. Now that's a challenge. Let me slow it down. I love that. Firstly, the Heidelberg tells us, honor and love and show faithfulness to our parents, but also to all those who are in authority over us. We're all in relationships with that somewhere. You will go to work tomorrow, and unless you are the big chief of your business, there will be people above you, and there will also be people below you. When we go to school tomorrow, every morning the roll perhaps is read by someone who is in authority over us. When you come in here on a Sunday, I love this one. Elders, like me, are in authority over you. Now, I'll hopefully never abuse that trust, but everywhere in our lives, we are in these relationships. The Heidelberg Catechism makes it clear. This commandment demands from us that we are to honor, love, and have faithfulness towards parents and to all those who are in authority over us. But it also says that we bear patiently with the failures of these men and women. It doesn't say that our parents are always going to be perfect. We know that that isn't the case. Probably we've all got stories to say about how daddy let us down, about how mummy made us cry. Parents are not perfect people. Neither are ministers, neither are police officers, neither are teachers. We bear patiently with their failures. But we are to honor them. We are to love them. We are to be faithful towards them because it is the way that God has ordained it for us to be governed. Folks, this is not easy. When we think of all those relationships, not just our parents, but also our grandparents, not just family, but also the people who we interact with on a daily basis, how many of you come home every day from work and you do the same thing for the next 3 hours, you give off and gurn and complain about your boss. It's not easy. But God challenges us to plot a different course in this world. And instead of disobedience and rebellion, instead of men and women who you don't tell me, I tell you, instead of that path, we take the other way. And we show honor and respect and love and faithfulness to those who it is due to by God's word. Folks, I challenge you this morning to map this out in your head, to ask that question, who is it in my life that this commandment applies to me? And where am I falling over every single day when it comes to this? It's not just mom and dad. It's not just Linda and Norman. It's everyone who is in authority over us. Do we honor them? Do we love them? Do we respect them? Or do we get on like petulant toddlers who haven't got that lollipop that they wanted in Tesco's, and so we throw ourselves down to make a scene? That's not God's path. That's the other way. Do you know, folks, when I was growing up, I had a Mr. T doll. Some of you will not remember who Mr. T was. B.A. Baracus in the A-team. He had lots of gold chains, a big mohawk, a big American guy. No, not with me. Anyway, I had a Mr. T doll. And when you put a string on him, he would give you words of wisdom. He often told me to always study hard in school. That's one of them. Always study hard in school. But the other one that he used to tell you was always listen to your parents. Always listen to your parents. And you would pull it. And sometimes you didn't want to hear that, so you'd pull it again. And it was as if somebody somewhere was trying to get the message through, because for about 10 goes, that's all he would say. Always listen to your parents. And folks, there's no other way to explain this commandment. That is the reality. Even when it is difficult, even when it is sore, we are to listen to our parents. And folks, this morning, to those of you who are still under your parents' wing, you're in the family home, who maybe hear that big mouthpiece mummy or big mouthpiece daddy saying, "Why are you under this roof, young lady?" I know at times they are difficult. I know at times you might think that they are stupid. I know at times you might think that the only role for your mom or dad is to ruin your life. But they're not. They love you. They cherish you. They love your very bones. And I challenge you as young people this morning to listen to them, to honor them. And I know that you might think that your mom doesn't have a clue, but take it from me. She's probably right. See that guy that's walked into your life and you think he's the best thing since sliced bread? Your mother's right. He's a goat. And there'll be others. There'll be others down the line. Folks, it's not easy when you're young. It's not easy when you're under that roof and when you think, I can't wait to get out, but honor your parents. A blessing comes with it, says the Lord. He says to the Israelites here, honor them so that your days may be long in the land. When we honor these family relationships, when we treat the people in authority over us with respect, God's blessing comes to us as a church, to a family, and also to society. It's no wonder that the family is the thing that's falling apart in 2015 here in Northern Ireland. It's no wonder that Satan has his guns trained on the family unit. He knows how important it is. And so for us today, we say, young, old, we will honor our parents. We will honor those in authority, no matter how difficult it might be. And let me spend a wee bit of time this morning, folks, asking that question. How do we honor our parents who really don't deserve it? And I know this applies to some of you, and this may be a wee bit sore, and even sitting here now, you're thinking, whatever you're about to say, Woodburn, I'm not going to do it, because you don't know what my dad did. You don't know what my mom was up to. You don't know how it felt when he or she walked out. How do we honor our parents when they don't deserve it? Folks, I will only say this to you. We treat our parents who don't deserve our love in the same way as God treats us who don't deserve his love. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 to 5, God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. Do you get that? even when we were dead in sin, even when we didn't deserve God's love, he loved us and he saved us, and Christ Jesus died for us. How do we treat our alcoholic fathers? How do we treat our absent mothers? How do we treat our abusive grandparents? Certainly we don't let them walk all over us. This is not my message today. I'm not saying go away home and if you're being beat about the place, just accept it. That's not it at all. We don't accept criminality. We don't accept physical abuse. We don't do any of that. But we try under God as best we can to show grace and love to those who every inch of us says they do not deserve it. Folks, that is the other path. And I wish I had tried that more in my 20-odd years of absolutely despising the ground my father walked on. It's not easy. But just as daddy or mummy or Uncle Jimmy or whoever doesn't deserve our love, or certainly we don't think he does, neither do we deserve the love of Christ, and yet it was freely given to us. Folks, there is our model in those difficult relationships. There is our model when it hurts. There is our model when we genuinely don't think I can submit or honor this individual. We honor because we have been honored and not deserved it. And folks, let me say this to you as well. Some of you today are like me in that you had a relationship with a parent that it wasn't good. It wasn't good. It wasn't nice. And I'm glad to say that my father is alive and well. I'm glad to say that my relationship with him has been the best it has ever been. But some of you this morning might feel it in your heart because mummy or daddy or Uncle Jimmy, whoever, passed away before you could make things right. They passed away and they're not here anymore, and the divide and the gap between you was never dealt with, and that kills you, that hurts you. Folks, what do you do in that circumstance? What do you do when that's the reality? This morning I point you to Jesus. This morning I again share that word with you. Grace. And I urge you to rest in the grace of God when it comes to these broken relationships. With the best will in the world, our relationships may not match up to this standard that God tells us. With the best will in the world, at times we will never be able to get past what that person did to us. And in those moments, I want to assure you of God's love for you. I want to assure you that you are not loved because you keep his commandments perfectly. None of us can do that. But instead, I want to remind you of what Christ has done for you, that he loved you even before you knew his name. Folks, if your parents have gone, and you'll never get to say sorry, if you're in a relationship right now that is broken beyond repair, know God's grace in those sore relationships and those awful situations. Know his grace and his love for you regardless of what those relationships look like. And finally, let me challenge those of you, encourage those of you who feel this morning like you are the worst children in the world, or perhaps that you are the worst parents in the world. You know, often Jenny takes this very hard. We have three beautiful girls. Jenny has a full-time job with them. As you know, I'm a minister, so like Neil Bingham, I sit drinking tea and coffee in the office all day, reading books. That's all we do. Amen, Neil? Amen, you see? And I come home sometimes, and Jenny, you know, is just ready for punching walls. And she'll tell me the story of what happened before breakfast, and during breakfast, and after breakfast, and 11 o'clock, and then 12 o'clock, and then a quarter past 12, and on it goes. And at times, we as parents despair. We think, what are our kids doing? What are we doing wrong? And I'm not always very wise, but I think I hit the nail on the head with this the other week. I said to her, love, what you've got to remember is that we are two big sinners trying to live with three little sinners. Folks, that is the reality for so many of us. And I would urge you this morning, if you are a parent whose kids you think, oh, what am I doing wrong with them? Or if you're a child and who in the light of this, honoring our father and our mother, think, well, what am I doing wrong? I can't speak to my dad. He doesn't seem to love me the way he loves everyone else. What am I doing wrong? Folks, again, I point you to Jesus, and I urge you to rest in God's grace. We all know those families, don't we? Mummy and daddy, And they're perfect, perfect white teeth. They never break the speed limit. And they never get anything wrong. And they've 12 children. They're all boys. They show how holy they are. They named every one of them after the 12 apostles. You know? And they didn't even want to leave Judas out. So the last one's called Paul Judas, you know? And you look at them and you think, why can't we be like that? Why can't family life look that way? Folks, at times when we come to these commandments, when we come to God's standard, we will know in our hearts and in our souls how far short we fall. And when you fall short, and when today you go home, and Dad's not coming around because of that fight back in 1964 over land or whatever it was, when you come home to that, when you face that every single day, rest in God's grace. He doesn't write you off because of brokenness. He doesn't write you off because your relationships don't meet the standard of those perfect families. By the way, they don't exist, only in your head. He doesn't write us off. Christ's blood is enough. Even when we get this right, and even when we are in the middle of it being absolutely wrong. And folks, let me absolutely finish now by talking to those of you who, for me, need to look beyond this morning. See, we're not only to honor our earthly parents and honor those who are in authority over us. We are to give honor and glory to God alone. We set here in Eden Grove with this wee phrase on the wall, Sola Deo Gloria, to God alone the glory. And here is the reality. Some of you sit here this morning and you've maybe a wonderful relationship with Mum and Dad, but you have an awful relationship with our Heavenly Father. Folks, this morning you need to do business with the Lord. You need to come and you need to trust Him and you need to hold tightly to the promises of the gospel. Because a day is coming, as Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, says Jesus, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Or in other words, says Jesus, many of you, Eden Grove, will come to me and say, Jesus, it's me. Do you not know me? And Jesus will reply, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You know, three children have changed me. I get Sophie's name right. I get Abby's name right, but Ellie? Ellie is Sophie, Abby, and Ellie all rolled into one. But I'll always get there. I'll always remember. I'll always call to mind the name of my youngest. But what Jesus will say to those of you who have rejected him is, I never knew you. I didn't know your name. You didn't know mine. You might have thought you were on my team, but you weren't. I never knew you. Folks, is that what you want to hear? We're called this morning to honor our father and our mother, to honor those in authority over us in society. And I challenge every one of you to do that. But the scriptures also call us to honor the Lord God Almighty, God the Father, who sent God the Son to die for those who didn't deserve it. And this morning I challenge you to honor the Father by believing in the Son, and by being saved this very hour. That's the business you need to be addressing this day. And I challenge you, as we read this word, honor your father and your mother, to give mind and heed to earthly relationships, but also to the one with the Father who is in heaven, with the Son at the right-hand side, and whose Spirit calls you now to repentance and faith. Amen. And may God give us ears this morning to hear his word.